Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, we talk about a team that was sold in the NFL and some great Hall of Fame running backs that have birthdays on this day, as well as one of the drafts that will go through all the players in the top 10. It's all coming up in a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with their tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, because today we have some great football history headlines, a couple of them for you, but we have a plethora of Hall of Fame birthdays. Most of them are of the halfbacks, and there are some good ones in there, so make sure you tune in to see those here in just a moment. But first, we'll go to your football history headlines, and the newspapers.com football history headline of the day is up first from the Palladium Item in Richmond, Indiana. Had this bold on their sports page on May 2nd, 1969. Philadelphia Eagles sold. Of course, that story reported an occurrence that happened on May 1st, 1969, where trucking magnate Leonard Toast bought the Philadelphia Eagles franchise for a professional sports record of $16.05 million. Former owner Jerry Woolman was forced to sell due to being financially strapped, and Toast couldn't have come along at a better time to help him out of the situation. Woolman had purchased the team himself in 1964 for $5.5 million. As part of an agreement, Woolman would repurchase the team if he could gather up to $16.055 million by August 1st, 1969. Speculation was that Toast would clean house in the front office, including buying out the remaining 11 years a contract of manager-coach Joe Kuharich. In fact, that is exactly what occurred, as Kuharich was bought out of his contract for $50,000 a year, and Pete Razcliffe was hired as the franchise's GM and vice president. Jerry Williams was hired to be the head coach, and he served in that position until 1971. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like the Palladium Item in Richmond, Virginia, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating back from yesterday all the way to 1798. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. May 1st, 1984, Nebraska wide receiver Irving Fryer was the first pick by the New England Patriots in the 1984 NFL Draft. In my research, I cannot find where one member of this draft has been enshrined in Canton as of yet, but it's interesting that another Cornhusker offensive player was selected in the number two spot, Dean Steinkuhler, to the Houston Oilers. The ProFootballReference.com gives us a glimpse of the first 10 selections. After Steinkuhler was Carl Banks, the linebacker from Michigan State to the New York Giants. Kenny Jackson, the wide receiver from Penn State, to the Philadelphia Eagles with the fourth pick. And the Kansas City Chiefs chose Bill Moss, the nose tackle from the University of Pittsburgh. Mossy Cade, the defensive back from Texas, went to the San Diego Chargers at six. And the Cincinnati Bengals chose Ricky Hundley, a linebacker from Arizona. Leonard Coleman, a defensive back from Vanderbilt, went to the Indianapolis Colts. And Atlanta, at the number nine spot, chose Rick Bryan, a defensive end from Oklahoma. Rounding out the top 10 was the New York Jets pick of Russell Carter, a defensive back from SMU. Let's go to our football birthdays. And like we told you, there is a bunch of them for this May 1st. So let's get right at it, because these are all Hall of Famers. May 1st, 1900. Baraboom, Wisconsin. Stan Barnes, a two-way center tackle from the University of California from 1918 to 1921, arrived to have his birth certificate signed. The National Football Foundation shares that Stan was a member of the legendary Cal Wonder teams of the 1920 and 1921 seasons. In his junior and senior seasons, he played in two consecutive Rose Bowls. The 1920 squad won the national championship, going undefeated in 9 games, scoring 510 points and giving up only 14. Quite a margin. In one of the biggest routs in college football history, the Bears defeated St. Mary's 127-0. At the granddaddy of them all, Cal defeated Ohio State's Buckeyes 28-0. The next season of 1921, the Bears were also undefeated and untied until Cal tied Washington and Jefferson 0-0 on a muddy field in the Rose Bowl. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in honor of Stan Barnes in their legendary museum in 1954. May 1st, 1905, De Ritter, Louisiana. The Louisiana Lafayette from 1922 to 25 and Army 1926 to 29 halfback Chris Red Cagle was born. The National Football Foundation states in their bio of Red that Chris, while at Southwestern Louisiana, chalked up 235 points by scoring touchdowns, kicking extra points, and converting field goals. This was a school record that lasted all the way to 1989, and he was able to play collegiately for 8 seasons as he split the balance of his NCAA career with the Army Cadets team. Matter of fact, Red was an All-American halfback the last 3 seasons at West Point. His longest runs were 75 yards against Yale. In 1928, 70 yards against Ohio Wesleyan and 65 yards against Yale. In 1929, in 4 years at Army, he scored 169 points, averaged 6.4 yards per attempt in rushing and 26.4 yards per kickoff return. Good numbers there. Our friend Chris Willis from the NFL Films wrote in an article for the Pro Football Journal website that Cagle was on the cover of Time magazine in 1929 while with Army. He's often seen playing with either his chin strap undone or with no helmet on at all. Chris Cagle was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954 after the National Football Foundation tallied up their votes. C. Willis also goes on to tell us that Cagle played 5 steady but uneventful seasons in the NFL with the New York Giants. Red Cagle did, however, own a franchise for a brief moment, the Brooklyn Dodgers NFL team, for a couple of seasons with his partner, John Shipwreck Kelly. May 1st, 1908, Medford, Wisconsin. Ernie Pinkert, the flashy halfback from Southern Cal teams of 1929 and 1931, arrived in this life. Ernie had the skill set that few players in his era had, a combination of being able to bust off a long run at any moment, catch passes, and produce powerful blocks. Trojan coach Howard Jones featured these talents in a couple of USC Rose Bowl victories. According to the NFF, the first big bowl game wins came at the end of the 1929 season. The Trojans were playing Tulane when Pinkert hauled in a couple of double reverses that he broke for touchdown runs of 30 and 27 yards in a 21-12 USC victory. 2 years later, Pinkert was being used primarily as a blocking back, and the Trojans had ripped off 9 straight victories after a season-opening loss to St. Mary's. Then came the Rose Bowl and a date with the Pitt Panthers. Unexpectedly, Jones went into the passing game with quarterback Russ Saunders looking to Pinkert on a regular basis with success. The result was a 47-14 Trojan rout of the Panthers. Pinkert earned All-America honors after the 1930 and 1931 seasons, and Ernie Pinkert's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1957. May 1st, 1910, Akron, Ohio, the strong fullback of the seasons of 1928 to 1931 of West Virginia Wesleyan, Cliff Jip Battles was born. Battles was masterful in busting off long runs, according to footballfoundation.org. During the 1929 season, he broke off a 50-yard run from scrimmage against Salem. In 1930, he returned a kickoff 98 yards and a punt 90 yards against Waynesburg and ran back a punt 90 yards against Georgetown that same year. That same year, he also had runs of 80, 73, 68, and 66 yards. His 1931 scorecard showed runs of 86, 62, 57, 54, 44, and 22-yard runs. That season, he crossed the goal line 15 times and booted 4 extra points. Against Salem in 1931, he scored 7 touchdowns. The next day's paper registered that Jip had 354 yards rushing in the game, 91 of them on kickoffs, and 24 on pass receiving, a total of 469 for the game. Quite a game. Very impressive. Causing the great gridiron historian of that day, Grantland Rice, to write, "Battle simply ran over or around all opponents." The National Football Foundation selected Cliff Battles for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1955. And after schooling was complete, Cliff played pro football with the Boston/Washington franchise from 1932 to 1937. And twice led the National Football League in rushing, both in 1932 and 1937, per the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website. Cliff was the first player in NFL history to surpass the 200-yard mark in a single game and earned all NFL honors five different times from 1932 to 37. Battles fought his way over the goal line three times in a division-clinching victory over the Giants in 1937, and he seemed to be at the pinnacle of his career. But then he abruptly retired as the Redskins froze his salary at $3,000 a year. He was definitely a standout player. In fact, Cliff Battles was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1968. Battles went on to be an assistant coach at Columbia from 1938 to 1943, served in the Marines in World War II, and coached the Brooklyn Dodgers of the All-American Football Conference from 1946 to 1947. May 1st, 1925, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The standout center from the University of Pennsylvania Quakers, Chuck Bednarak, celebrated his day of birth. Known as the Concrete Charlie, Chuck Bednarak was a hero long before he reached Franklin Field at the University of Pennsylvania, according to thefootballfoundation.org. Chuck was a 20-year-old veteran of World War II, a highly decorated aerial gunner with 30 combat missions over Germany to his credit when he arrived at the school. Bednarak remained a 60-minute player even after the rules were lifted to allow free substitution in a game of football, and he was that valuable to his team. Playing as a center and linebacker, he was a two-time All-American. And as a senior in 1948, Bednarak won the Maxwell Award as a symbolic of the top collegiate player in America. Chuck Bednarak was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1969 after the National Football Foundation tallied up their votes. The Philadelphia Eagles made him their number one draft choice in the draft of 1949. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined the career of Chuck Bednarak into their museum in 1967. May 1st, 1930, Trinity, Texas. The University of San Francisco's stud halfback from 1949 to 51, Ollie Mattson, was born. Ollie was blessed with size, speed, and balance that very few have been gifted with. To get the full appreciation of Ollie Mattson, you need to go to our Sports History Network expert on Mattson's career, historian Joe Zimba, and we have a great link there to take you to his podcast and write-up that they have on Sports History Network. You've also heard Joe talk about Ollie on our program a couple times. We'll have links to that, too, on our site of pigskindispatch.com for this May 1st edition. In just his sophomore year, he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. An injury hampered his efforts as a junior, but the elusive superstar returned as a senior and led the Dons of San Fran to an undefeated record in 1951. Ollie won the Mr. Touchdown Award, scoring 21 TDs and finishing as a contender in the Heisman Trophy race. After that season, he turned around and won the silver and bronze medals in the 1952 Olympic Games. What an athlete! The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in the honor of Ollie Mattson into their legendary museum in 1976. And in 1952, Mattson was the number one overall pick by the Chicago Cardinals in the NFL draft. He played well for the Cards, but was traded to the Rams in 1959 for nine players. That's how valuable he was. And you can learn more about that trade by visiting pigskindispatch.com and our date of that trade, which we have a link on our site for the May 1st article. Joe Ziemba actually tells us about that trade. For his career, Ollie racked up over 12,000 yards of total offense in the league and was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1972. May 1st, 1937, Surry County, Virginia. The tackle from Maryland Eastern Shore, Roger Brown, arrived in this world. The NFF states that Roger Brown was a massive lineman for his era. In fact, when Roger entered the pro ranks, he may have been one of the first 300-plus pound players in history. Despite his stature, Brown had the stamina and athletic ability to still play in the demanding one-platoon era, and he dominated his opponents. Roger Brown received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009. May 1st, 1973, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Curtis Martin, the quick-footed running back from the University of Pittsburgh, was born. Martin was drafted by the New England Patriots in the third round of the 1995 NFL Draft, and he rewarded his employers by leading the AFC in rushing in his rookie season. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website, Curtis was the second player in NFL history to have started his career with 10 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. In 11 years with both the Patriots and the New York Jets, he was the team leader in rushing every single season. His career's totaled over 14,000 yards on the ground, and he scored 90 touchdowns running and 10 more catching passes. Curtis Martin in 2012 was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And if you want to see players like Curtis Martin and Chuck Bednarak and Ollie Mattson in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a great opportunity is for a display we're going to be playing just a moment here of the PFRA and their convention they're going to have there at the last week in June. Make sure you stay tuned for that commercial. Also, check out sportshistorynetwork.com for all your great sports history needs. We have 20 great podcasters and growing every day that are ready and willing to share some great sports history with you, because it is the headquarters of sports yesteryear. And also check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, where we have all the great football history for you. Use our powerful search box to search almost anything in the game of American football, and you'll have results come up from either us at Pigskin Dispatch or one of our great partners on the Sports History Network, including podcasts and blog posts and articles. And so make sure you check out all those and listen to this great promotional we have for the PFRA's convention. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.